This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So I saw the teams that voted for and against that tush push, and the Jets are one that voted for it. And I'm thinking with Justin Fields and what their offense is going to be, we're going to see him like running the ball around all the time and putting himself in harm's way, or is he going to sit in the pocket and throw the football?
Well, I think you're going to see a lot more running than you have seen in the past from Jet quarterbacks. There's no question about that. And that's part of his game. That's part of his arsenal. So why wouldn't you, you know, have a little bit of the RPO game going on and try to use his athleticism in that way as well? As far as the tush push is concerned, you know, I'm glad they kept it, but the one thing that people tend to forget is that, you know, Jalen Hurts is 6'1", and he has just a knack of getting in between his offensive linemen and then, of course, the running backs pushing him from behind. There's just a real knack that he has to do that. That's why it's not easy for a guy like Josh Allen. Josh Allen is 6'5". So it's a little bit tougher for him, and they don't have nearly the amount of success. They try to run it, but it's not something that I don't think that he wants to do.
No. I mean, you shouldn't want your quarterback doing that, really, if he's an MVP candidate, someone who's won an MVP, to put him in those situations.
Right. But I could see it with I could definitely see it with Justin Fields, for sure. Yeah. And, the other thing, too, this is probably right now we're in the middle of May, so this is really the quiet time for the NFL. You know, you do have some contracts being signed by rookies, and Abdul Carter just got his new contract. So, I mean, that's the only thing that's really going on right now. And I guess the next big thing will be whether or not Aaron Rodgers is going to show up in Pittsburgh.
I mean, how can he not at this point?
Well, they're honestly starting OTAs now.
Yeah, but I mean, he missed some of it last year with the pre-planned trip. I mean, he's missed everything so far, and they did throw with DK Metcalf a little bit. He said on Pat McAfee he had this personal thing, and once he gets that settled, he'll be able to talk to teams more. So I don't know where that's at. I believe him when he says that stuff. So I don't know. I mean, at this point, they have to know that he's coming.
You would think, because there are still some other guys out there that haven't signed yet, that are probably sitting around waiting to see what's going on and whether or not I'm assuming if guys get hurt in training camp or get hurt early in the season, you know, guys will end up signing. But for him, everything's pointing towards Pittsburgh. I just don't know why it's not done yet.
I mean, according to him, it's because he's got some severe personal life thing going on, and someone he needs to be helping out and giving his time to. I mean, that's basically what he said. And when he feels like that's resolved, then he'll talk to a team. And I mean, he's probably, you know, he probably really hasn't made up his mind yet, which is wild, but that's who he is. And by the way, everybody hated the Brett Favre documentary. I didn't see it, but every single person that watched it told me that they thought it was awful.
Yeah, I didn't watch it at all. And you're right, two of the guys that did watch it, you know, in my group,
yeah,
didn't like it, didn't find anything out that they didn't already know.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically what, from the criticism that I heard, was basically, I mean, Al can talk to this because he watched the thing, but it was just like sort of like the Jen Sturger show, right? It was basically mostly about
that. Well,
it was
only an hour and 3 minutes. I would say the first 30 minutes or so was how great Brett Favre was as a player. And I don't know if they were using that to set up, can you believe he did this after being a great player? I guess that was it. But the Jen Sturger stuff, it didn't seem like they talked to an ex-Jet employee that wasn't somebody who was known, so that guy I wasn't sure about. And then it went into the stuff with the volleyball stadium.
Mississippi.
Yeah.
The Mississippi State funds.
Yeah. The only thing I found interesting about that was that a lot of times, I think myself included, is like, Brett Favre, he's too dumb. He didn't even know what was going on. He got caught up in something. But when you watch the documentary and the things that they have in his writing and his words, it makes you think more like, no, he did know what he was doing.
Did they get into the pill stuff at all, like the opiate stuff?
Very briefly.
Yeah. That was another big part of his whole deal back in the day. So I thought that they would get into that as well. But, yeah. All right. Well, it's easy. Just have someone else watch the stuff for you and then tell you what's good or not, right? That's what we got Al for.
I'm watching Tylenol Murders documentary. That's very good.
Tylenol Murders? I don't know this one. What's it on?
Netflix.
It is on Netflix?
Yeah. It was when somebody was lacing Tylenol with cyanide back in 1982. Chicago area.
Yes.
Crazy stuff.
That. Yep. I was watching Memorial Day. I was watching the documentary on the Thunderbirds.
Oh.
It was very good.
Oh, it's on Netflix as well. I passed that by.
It's very good. I suggest you watch it.
That's not up Al's
alley. Murders.
Yeah, no murders.
But it talks about what it takes to become one of those pilots.
Did any of them see a UFO? Did they talk about that?
No, they did not talk about UFOs, no. Mm.
I had someone text me last night and said, I was on a group text, said, what is the latest, like, what ever happened to the drones? It just disappeared after the statement from the White House. No one says anything else about it anymore, and nobody talks about it.
I thought the D-Train was going to open up the files for that.
I have not seen anything. I mean, Al, do you still see stuff out over the ocean?
So I used to see it around 6 o'clock at night when the sun went down, when I was on my final dog walk. But now the sun don't go down.
Sun much don't later. Go down.
So I don't see it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I said that's a good question. It just
maybe the Iranian mothership is out of here now. Or...
maybe. I mean, that was one of the many theories that was going on. I mean, it was every time I'd open social media, there was another video of it. And then basically right after the inauguration, Caroline Leavitt came out and read a statement on it and kind of gave us nothing. She was just like, yeah, could be this, could be that. You know, sometimes they're regular planes, sometimes they're companies testing out stuff, and now we're done with it. It was like, okay. So, I mean, we were obsessed.
Yes, we were for, I would say, about a good 6 weeks.
Roughly, yeah.
And now all of a sudden, nothing.
Yeah, it was just before Thanksgiving up until... For me, when the sun started going down later.
Now the sun don't go down. The sun don't go down. I get a little sunrise for like a couple of weeks when I'm driving in now, which is like changes everything. Just get a little bit of sun on your drive in as opposed to being pitch black every single
time. Kind of wakes you up a little bit more.
Yeah. Yes. I feel like you're awake during the normal hours. If you want to talk some Knicks with us, by the way, 888-808-1019, people putting on the fan going, drones again, you weirdo losers?
Yes.
What are you talking about? No, we're talking Knicks. We've talked a ton of Knicks. And if you want to talk to us about it, 888-808-1019. I guess it's just the way that the news cycle is these days, that we just chew things up, spit them out, move on to the next thing, because our attention spans are what they are.
Yes.
And that's that. And like, we're not interested anymore. In this, or we're not interested in that. And now, all right, I got enough of that. What's the next thing? I mean, it's just the way it's been now for years.
Well, I mean,
and you forget about it.
It's the influence of social media.
Yeah,
no, that's what it is. I mean, you know, how many times you pick up your phone to read something, and then immediately forget that, and then get something else.
Yeah, that's bad. I mean, it's ruining our memories. It's ruining our attention spans. I wish I could put it down, but I can't at this point. Can't do it.
With all the sports going on, and then if you want to throw politics in there,
yeah. I mean, there's no detaching unless you are like someone who's retired and is living a life of leisure at that point, and you can get away from it doing what we do. It's impossible.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Roman in Hackensack. What's going on, Roman?
Going on, guys. Long time listener, first time caller.
Nice. What's up, man?
I just got to say, Brunson cannot wait to get going tonight. We need him for four quarters. He can't fall asleep for the first three and then make some shots late and hope Cat picks us up. He's got to get going early, and he can't get into foul trouble anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a weird one for me, the fact that there's been two games where he's had to go to the bench because of fouls, and I understand.
How about both of those guys having to go to the bench?
Towns, I could understand. Like, Towns has been a guy who's always found himself in foul trouble because he's big, he's burly, his arms are flying everywhere. They go after him. That's one of the ways to stop him is get him on the bench and rack up the fouls with Brunson. Like, that's just generally not a thing. But they're just going straight at him. You know, trying to get him into foul trouble, knowing how important it is. Like, I remember in the first game, it was game one, they had the microphone on Halliburton, and he's like, we need to dominate the Brunson the minutes when he's on the bench. We got to dominate during that time. So it's like, that's clearly, you know, they've been their game plan is like, get some fouls on him, get him on the bench, and we'll be able to beat him. But if he's out there and he's playing every single second like he can, then it's going to be a long series for the Pacers.
Well, especially the way he plays the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, of course. Yep. I mean, he's always been, in a Knicks uniform, he's been the guy that I felt the most comfortable with. Like, the ball's in his hands, I feel totally fine about where the game is going.
Have you seen some of the, you know, we all predict things. We all try to think this is what's going to happen, that's what's going to happen.
Sure.
When they signed Jalen Brunson, have you seen, like, all the stuff? Like, the Stephen A. Smiths, the Brian Windhorst, the Shams, all these guys, what they were saying about when the Knicks signed Jalen Brunson?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, they torture Tommy about it all the time, Tommy Lugauer, in the afternoon because he put out, you know, typical Knicks, Jalen Brunson, good player, not great player. You know, and then got to do better than this. And they, you know, they torture him about it. Evan tortures him about it. But yeah, I mean, that was the consensus at the time. I mean, I didn't dislike the signing at all. I mean, I was like, this guy is
I was happy
he was coming here,
way.
But I didn't think he was going to be one of the best players I'd ever seen in a Knicks uniform. But I was like, hey, it's someone who can definitely be a part of the solution.
You know, and the thing about it is that he wanted to come here. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And he wanted to take less money. That's even more reason to like the guy.
Of course.
And on top of it, he's the humble leader. I mean, he's, you know, on the basketball court, he's not humble, but away from the basketball court, he's very humble.
Yeah. I mean, the only times he's kind of shoving in anybody's face is when he hits a big three-pointer and he does that three-point thing.
But it's not like everybody celebrates.
Yeah. But everything he says, you know, he's always saying the right thing.
100% respectful.
Yeah.
Respectful about his coach, respectful about the team he's playing against. Look, he and Halliburton are buddies.
Yeah, no, I know, which is sometimes you want to beat your friends more than you want to beat your enemies. That makes sense? You know what I mean?
I do know because, you know, when I was at Maryland, all the guys that I was close with also played the same position as I did.
Yeah.
So we were uber competitive in everything we did.
Yep. Yeah, never turns off, man.
But this is what Aaron Glenn's talking about with the Jets. We're going to make the New York Jets practice a competitive brand of football. We're going to be competitive.
Yeah. They better be. God. Please, for the love of God. John Staten Island, what's going on, John?
Hey, guys. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Going on. So I wanted to bring something up about the Knicks, especially the game that they blew with the 14-point lead. With like a little over two minutes left in the game. I have a hard time watching, and I've been doing this last year, and I did it this year. And shooting three-pointers, especially in a game like that, that game got away because they kept shooting those three-pointers with that much time on the clock. My philosophy is waste the shot clock, try to shoot the ball with maybe 3 or 4 seconds left. Now you take 20 seconds off the clock, and you limit the amount of possessions the other team has. Then also the other day, the reason why they're down so much is because they keep shooting these three-pointers. They're not a three-point team. So I don't know if Tibbs sees this on film. He has to. Somebody has to straighten it out because they keep doing these things, putting themselves in the hole, and it's getting ridiculous. So maybe if they stop doing that and getting themselves in the hole, it's almost like when Kyle Shanahan was with the Falcons and they were up by 25 points in the Super Bowl. Why do you keep passing it for? You got to kill the clock, right?
John, we all felt that way after game one, that they mismanaged the clock late in the game. And also they missed a couple free throws late in the game. They didn't miss their free throws in game three. They made their free throws. Mm-hmm. And, you know, quite frankly, they want to play a slower game than the Pacers do. But I also know that Brunson wants to go 100 miles an hour. Bridges wants to go 100 miles an hour. Ananobi wants to go 100. They all want to play a fast-paced game. They're just not as deep as the Pacers have been. But I will say this. You got to tell me that Ananobi, Bridges, Brunson, and Karl Anthony Towns, and Deuce McBride don't think that they're three-point shooters. Every single one of those guys do.
No, I mean, it was a different story when they're playing the Celtics. They clearly were not as good of a three-point shooting team as the Celtics. But, you know, on paper, outside of Nesmith's out-of-body experience, I mean, the Knicks and the Pacers are right there similar when it comes to three-point shooting.
Very, very similar.
So, I mean.
And that's the game, unfortunately. That is the game. It's the game that can cost you a game. It's the game within a game. The three-point shot can cost you a game, but it also gets you back into a game, like we saw the other night.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this entire playoffs.
Yeah, which is what, you know, I mean, it's sometimes Boston, game one and game two, they got lazy.
Mm-hmm.
They started hoisting up threes, started missing threes, and that's how the Knicks won.
Yeah, and then game one of this series, it was the opposite.
Yes.
You know, Pacers were making everything and the Knicks were not. Aiden in New Jersey, what's going on, Aiden?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man.
Thanks for taking my call. Big time fan of the show.
Thanks. What do you got for us?
I saw some stats the other day that the Knicks are plus 10 with Karl-Anthony Towns on the floor and then plus 15 with Brunson on the floor, but they're like minus 10 with both of them on the floor together. Do you think this is something the Knicks should continue to keep doing, playing them at the same time, or should they be staggered?
It's because they're the two worst defensive players on the team.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And they end up getting into foul trouble. So this is one of the reasons why they put, I think they put Mitch out there. They want to put Mitch out there to start the game. They want a defensive presence on the court. That's a big defensive presence. That is the so-called rim protector.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That rim protector is very important.
And where would they be without him? I mean, my goodness, the amount of offensive rebounds, the amount of rebounds, period.
But how about the fact that for years we've been waiting for this, and he has gotten hurt
always
every single year.
Yeah, knock on wood.
And now he's finally healthy, and he's playing more time now than he ever has.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
He's been an incredible impression on defense. And remember, if you're going to throw him the ball, you got to throw it above the rim to him, not down by his knees.
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that I don't think they're this deep into the playoffs if Mitchell Robinson isn't healthy. If he didn't come back, he's that important to the team.